In the 1996 book, The Entrancing Flame by John Hamer, he devoted a chapter about the gruesome death of Jeannie Safin. The tragic death happened in her own house, and at the time, her father and brother-in-law were present. Her father, Jack, was in the kitchen when he noticed a bright flash of light at the corner of his eye. As he turned to Jeannie to ask if she saw the bright light, what he witnessed was something out of a horror movie. His daughter was in flames whilst sitting at the kitchen table with her hands on her lap. Jeannie Safin's brother-in-law, Don, saw blue flames coming out of her mouth and her midriff. She was roaring like a dragon, he said. The kitchen wasn't damaged, but her cardigan melted. The inquest never sorted it out, but I know what I saw. Similar to all of the aftermath of spontaneous human combustion, the only remnants of Jeannie were her legs. While the investigation was going on, police found no reason for Jeannie's combustion. There was no sign of burning in the house except for Jeannie's body. Jeannie Safin's case has become a piece of irrefutable evidence amongst the paranormal community of the existence of spontaneous human combustion. To this day, the cause of her death is still unknown. Spontaneous human combustion refers to the death from a fire originating without an apparent external source of ignition. The fire is believed to start within the body of the victim. This phenomenon is believed to have occurred for centuries, where the earliest documented incident can be found in the 17th century, with a large number of cases recorded in the 19th century and a handful in the 20th and the 21st centuries. Altogether, there are a few hundred recorded possible cases. The earliest documented case is by the Danish anatomist and mathematician Thomas Bartholin in his book, which catalogs strange medical phenomena. In the book, Bartholin described the death of an Italian knight in the 15th century called Polonius Vorstius, who drank a few glasses of strong wine in his home in Milan. Like Jeannie, he burst into flames all of a sudden and reduced to ashes and smoke in front of his horrified parents. The aftermath of spontaneous human combustion is also rather peculiar because, although the torso and head are charred beyond recognition, the hands, feet, and part of the legs may be unburned. In addition, the room around the person always shows little or no sign of fire, except for a small residue left on furniture or walls. In rare cases, the internal organs of the victim remain untouched while the outside was charred. Not every victim of spontaneous human combustion was simply consumed by the flames. Some luckily only developed strange burns on their body without any plausible reason. Only a small percentage of people have survived spontaneous combustion. Because of how mysterious the phenomenon is, it has garnered a lot of interest surrounding the topic, not only from people with a medical professional background, but also from people with religious backgrounds. For several centuries, people have debated whether human beings can spontaneously combust or burst into flames without being ignited by an external source. Charles Dickens even featured the phenomenon in his novel The Bleak House, where the sleazy alcoholic junk merchant Mr. Crook ends up as a pile of ashes on the floor and a dark, greasy coating on the walls and ceiling. In the preface to the book edition of Bleak House, written after the novel had already been published, Dickens defended his use of spontaneous combustion against accusations of implausibility, citing several famous cases and the judgments of eminent medical doctors that such a thing was indeed possible. Back in the day, it was largely accepted as a reality, and many have accepted it as a punishment for the victims because of their overall lifestyle, where the victims are commonly alcoholics, overweight, and female. Of course, as we become more advanced in our understanding of how the world works, we have come up with different logical theories. In order to unfold the theories that have been brought up, Let's look at a few notable cases of spontaneous human combustion throughout the centuries. The first one being one of the oldest cases and the last being the most recent, which occurred as recent as 2010. An article published in 1743 by Paul Rawley details the gruesome death of Countess Cornelia Zangary Bandy, who was a noblewoman. She was 66 years old when she passed away and went to bed after she had her last dinner. During that night, she was described to be dull and heavy, and she went to her room, accompanied by her maid. Some accounts report that the Countess was a brandy drinker and that she used to sprinkle camphorated brandy on her body to relieve physical pain. The Countess and the maid spent over 3 hours chatting and praying. Only when the mistress was already asleep is when the maid left the room. The next day, the Countess did not get up at the usual time, and when the maid went to wake her up, she found the room was full of soot. As soon as she entered her room, she saw the remains of the Countess on the spot where she slept on the bed last night. The body of the Countess had been reduced to a pile of ashes, whilst her lower legs below the knee, three fingers, and front of her skull was relatively intact. The bed and the rest of the furniture had not been affected by the fire but were covered by a greasy and smelly layer. On the floor, there was an oil lamp covered with ashes but without oil. The way the sheets were found seemed to indicate that the Countess had risen at some point during the night. The second case happened in December 1966, where the body of Dr. John Irving Bentley, 92, was discovered in his house in Pennsylvania. He was last seen alive on 4th December 1966, when friends visiting his home wished him good night at about 9 p.m. The following morning, Don Gosnell, a meter reader, let himself into Bentley's house due to Bentley's old age. As he went to the basement to check the meter, he noticed a strange smell and a cloud of light blue smoke. He explained the smoke to be somewhat sweet, like starting up a new oil-burning central heating system. He found a neat pile of ash on the ground, about 35 centimeters in height. What's intriguing was there were no signs of burns underneath. He went upstairs to investigate the whereabouts of Mr. Bentley, and when he went into his bedroom, he found his cremated remains. What's left was a part of his leg and a foot with slippers on. The rest of his body had been burned to ashes. The only evidence of the fire that killed him was a hole that was in the bathroom floor. The rest of the house was intact and had not suffered from anything. The most recent and also Ireland's first ever case of spontaneous human combustion happened on 22nd December 2010. The remains of Michael Faraday were discovered in his living room near to a fireplace in Ballybane, Galway, 3 days before Christmas. Just like other cases of spontaneous human combustion, the furniture was untouched by the fire, only the ceiling directly on top of the body and also the floor beneath. What's baffling about this case is that, according to the forensic experts, they concluded that the fireplace is not the cause of the burning. The court was told that no trace of an accelerant had been found and there had been nothing to suggest foul play. Dr. McLaughlin, who was the coroner of the case, said that this is the first time in his 25 years as a coroner to rule a verdict of an incident as spontaneous human combustion. The British Medical Journal in 1938 have found a few commonalities in the recorded cases of spontaneous human combustion. What they found is that the victims are almost always chronic alcoholics. They are usually elderly females. Their body has not burned spontaneously, but some lighted substance has come into contact with it. the hands and feet usually fall off and unburned. The fire caused very little damage to combustible things in contact with the body, and the combustion of the body has left a residue of greasy and fetid ashes with a very offensive odor. In order for the human body to be ignited, it needs two things: intense high heat and a flammable substance. Under normal circumstances, the human body does not have any of those features mentioned, but some scientists have speculated about the possibility of such events over the centuries. Some debunked theories suggest that the fire is sparked when enough methane is present inside the intestines and is ignited by enzymes. However, many victims of spontaneous human combustion suffer more damage on the outside rather than the inside of their bodies, which contradicts this theory. Another debunked theory speculates that the origin of the fire, which could result from a buildup of static electricity inside the body, which originates from an external geomagnetic force. Larry Arnold suggests that this phenomenon is the result of a new subatomic particle called pyroton, which interacts with cells to create a microexplosion. But there is no scientific evidence backing up the existence of this particle. The most convincing research on the topic was done by Joe Nickel and John F. Fisher, where they spent 2 years researching the topic. They published their research to the International Association of Arson Investigators, which they found that the burned bodies were plausibly close to a fire or flammable objects. Possible causes could be candles, lamps, and fireplaces, because such sources were often omitted from published accounts. It's presumably used to deepen the aura of mystery surrounding an apparently spontaneous death. The investigators described how additional fuel sources may help to retain melted fat, which caused more of the body to be burned and destroyed, yielding still more liquefied fat in a cyclic process known as the wick effect or the candle effect. This hypothesis has been successfully tested in other studies where the human body typically has enough stored fat to make it fully combust. Even lean people have several pounds of fat in their tissues. Once the fats are heated, it wicks into the clothing as much as a candle wax is drawn into a lit candle wick, providing the fuel needed to keep the wick burning. The protein in the body also burns, but provides less energy than fat, with the water in the body being the inhibitor of further combustion. However, slow combustion, lasting hours, will evaporate the water slowly. In an enclosed area, such as a house, this moisture will recondense nearby, possibly on windows. Feet and hands don't typically burn because they often have the least fat. Only if they are close to the abdomen will it provide the necessary fat for combustion. What happened during each case of combustion is that the victims might be too intoxicated to be able to respond to the accident properly. As for the unburned surroundings, the nearby objects might not be close enough to the fire. Furthermore, the fires in question are relatively small, and they tend to burn in an upward fashion. Nickel and Fisher urged people to do the investigations on an individual basis and cautioned against a single simplistic explanation for all unusual burning deaths. However, Nickel and Fisher's hypothesis fails to explain Michael Fardy's case because, according to the forensic experts that investigated Michael's case, they found that the fireplace was not the cause of the combustion, even though his body was found lying near the fireplace. "This fire was thoroughly investigated," McLaughlin said, "and I'm left with the conclusion that this fits into the category of spontaneous human combustion, for which there is no adequate explanation." Some other theories that have been brought up come from a pseudoscientific approach in an attempt to explain how spontaneous human combustion might occur without an external flame source, even arguing whether or not spontaneous human combustion is even real. Benjamin Radford, science writer and deputy editor of the science magazine Skeptical Inquirer, cast doubts on the plausibility of spontaneous human combustion. He said, "If spontaneous human combustion is a real phenomenon, why doesn't it happen more often? There are 5 billion people in the world, and yet, we don't see reports of people bursting into flames while walking down the street, attending football games, or sipping a coffee at a local Starbucks." Paranormal researcher Brian Dunning states that spontaneous human combustion stories are simply the rare cases where a natural death in isolation has been followed by a slow combustion from some nearby source of ignition. He further suggested that reports of people suddenly aflame should be called unsolved deaths by fire, stating that an unknown cause did not necessarily imply that the fire lacked an external ignition source. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Enigma. If you'd like to support this podcast, be sure to share it with your friends and family, and if you feel generous, you can even support my podcast through Anchor's listener support for as little as $1 a month. You can find the link in the show notes of this episode.